Welcome to Soft Landing, the podcast that makes interior design accessible to everyone. Hey guys, I'm Amy. I'm an interior designer, artist, and space planner. I'm here to talk about everything you need to know about interior design, from furniture to finances. I'm sharing over a decade of experience to help you find real design solutions and craft the space of your dreams. Hello, my fancy friends. I'm so happy you're here. Are you feeling a little tired these days? We're gearing up for the winter months in the Northern Hemisphere, and that means less daylight hours, which is the perfect excuse to stay in bed just a little longer. But this is appealing only if your bed is actually comfortable. If you have an old mattress or one that isn't the right fit for you, being in bed can be anything but restful. So settle in, because today we're looking at the beautiful world of beds, mattresses, and bedding. But first, let's talk about the color of the week. If you live in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania tri-state area, you may be familiar with a little creature called the spotted lanternfly. This insect has been written up in the New York Times and is literally and figuratively taking over the city. If you're outside of this area, you may have no idea what I'm talking about. Imagine a white moth with a red body, whose wings have a large-scale, mesmerizing polka dot pattern. While we New Yorkers have been given strict instructions to extinguish these beings on sight due to their lack of natural predators in the area, there is no denying these are pretty little troublemakers. When their white, translucent wings overlap their fire engine red bodies in a resting, non-flight position, what is visible is a diffused mauve hue that is completely enchanting. That's why this week's color of the week is Sherwin-Williams Rose Embroidery 6297. This color is unapologetically femme and is one of those magical colors that makes everyone's skin tone look warm and glowy. This is a great choice if you want to paint an accent ceiling color, as it will rain down warm pink light and tint your whole world as if you're looking through rose embroidery colored glasses. This color can look super soft when mixed with similar tones of peach, taupe, and pink, or contrasted for a statement look with royal blue. It's all the buzz around town. This episode is brought to you by Soft Landing Studio. If you enjoy this podcast and want to take your space to the next level, you can book a virtual appointment with me to review your home, office, or retail project. Whether you want a quick brainstorming session, a series of regular check-ins during your renovation, or to work with my full interior design services. We will talk through all your interior design goals, dreams, and aspirations and give you a roadmap to get there. Go to www.softlandingstudio.com to schedule your experience now. And while you're there, don't forget to download the absolutely free Guide to Getting Started. This fun-filled PDF quiz will orient you at the very beginning of your interior design journey. If you know you aren't 100% happy in your space, but you don't know what to do about it, this guide is for you. You will be directed towards big idea solutions, so you'll know what to do, and most importantly, what to avoid. Go to www.softlandingstudio.com for your free copy today. There are three main construction types of mattresses available on the market today. There's inner spring, memory foam, and the hybrid. No, I'm not going to talk about waterbeds, although if that is your thing, knock yourself out, but I consider those more of a novelty product than a real mattress. So let's look at each of these three types. Starting with inner spring, this is the most familiar to many of us because it's been around forever, since 1871 more specifically. This is a system of metallic helix-shaped coils or springs wrapped in some kind of cushioning material. The coils adjust to the weight and pressure of our bodies without letting anyone sink too deep, And these coils have lots of air circulating around them, which keeps the mattress on the cooler side. This technology is well understood and used by lots of companies, so this is often the least expensive mattress option. However, this mattress type has the lowest lifespan of the three at anywhere between 6 to 8 years. So yes, if you're sleeping on an innerspring mattress that you purchased before 2016, you might be waking up with some discomfort in the morning as the springs lose their spring. You may also notice these coils can double as musical instruments, whether you want them to or not. The noise from spring mattresses can be humorous at best and significantly affect your sleep at worst, especially if you share a bed with another person. Most coil systems are comprised of individual springs that are then bound together, which means any movement from one side of the bed will transfer to other parts of the bed. Another potential sleep disruptor. In 1966, NASA developed memory foam to help cushion airplane seats and make them safer. And in 1991, Tempur-Pedic translated this technology to the mattress, and the first all-foam variety became available to consumers. Memory foam offers a more contoured alternative to the innerspring mattress. The foam molds to our bodies and rises back into place when we get up. This type of bed can last closer to 10 years, and because there are no springs, these mattresses are quiet, and movement doesn't transfer from one area of the bed to the other. So if your dog hops up on the bed while you're asleep, there's a chance you won't even notice. But these are densely designed items, so airflow is lessened, and the general feeling tends to be a little on the warmer side compared to an innerspring mattress, which could be a good or bad thing depending on how hot or cold you sleep. Memory foam mattresses are still generally affordable, but slightly more than a traditional innerspring model. If you can't decide between the two, you can always have both. Hybrid models combine layers of foam, springs, and sometimes air pockets, latex, and other cushioning materials. Here, we get the body contouring of foam and the airflow and support of coils. Every manufacturer's hybrid model is slightly different in the exact combination of springs and foams, which allows you to shop until you find the exact combo to suit you. The air pockets can often be adjustable via remote control, which is how those two-sided Sleep Number beds work. These options are naturally the most expensive on the market, and the longevity varies anywhere between 6 to 10 years due to all the variety in the designs available. Now, mattress type aside, there is a firmness scale that any style can fall into. Rated 1 through 10, 1 being the softest and 10 being the firmest. The scale allows consumers to compare products across manufacturers prior to trying them out in person, which you should, by the way, in this age of online shopping, always lay on a mattress prior to committing to it. The level of firmness you need depends on how you sleep. If you only sleep on your side, a soft mattress will help cushion your neck and hips throughout the night. This is generally ranked 5 and under on the firmness scale. If you toss and turn between your side and your back, a medium firm mattress will allow more ease of mobility. You'll find products ranked 6 or 7 will suit you best. If you're a stomach sleeper like I am, you have to go with a firmer mattress to get spinal support while you dream. This is an 8, 9, or 10 on the scale. Did you know there are actually 10 potential mattress sizes that are standard in the US? From a crib to a California king, each size conforms to a predetermined, industry-recognized footprint. Crib mattresses are with us for the least amount of time, as little ones grow up so fast. What's referred to as a single mattress may be used as a cot or in youth hostels for one individual only. A twin and its longer cousin, the Twin XL, are meant for a single sleeper as well, but leave a little more room for movement, your laptop, or a pet. A full bed, along with its XL version, is a much more voluminous fit for a single person. So much so that a second person could fit if absolutely necessary. The difference between the standard and XL or extra long versions of these is around 5 inches in length, which may go undetected for a typical sleeper, but will prove to be a real pain point when purchasing fitted sheets. If you aren't sure what you've got on your hands, bust out the tape measure and lay it down from head to foot. If the full length of the mattress is closer to 80 inches than it is to 75, you're living that XL lifestyle. Next, we have the Queen and Olympic Queen, which are the same length but vary by a few inches in width. These are ideal if you have a dedicated sleeping partner, giving enough room for two people but still managing a conservative footprint. A queen is about as wide as two single mattresses pushed together. And rounding out the whole group is the King and California King. Both of these beds generously fit two sleepers with room to spare for kids, dogs, cats, laptops, laundry, art projects, and a cup of coffee, if that's your thing. But the California King is larger than a typical king in length, being about 4 inches longer. The real curveball is that it's also 4 inches narrower than a standard king, so sharing fitted sheets is a no-go. This ultra-deluxe mattress gets its name from where it was invented. The idea of gracious California mansions for Hollywood starlets inspired an even larger bed size in the 1960s. A typical king bed is similar to two twin beds pushed together, a la I Love Lucy. And so those are just the United States standard size mattresses, right? Almost every country has their own unique system, very similar to the way clothing sizes vary depending on where they were designed. An Italian 42 is a US 8. And while the sizes tend to fall within a common range of dimensions, many manufacturers give or take an inch depending on what their research and manufacturing process dictates. But the point is to know your selection and coordinate your bed frame with the size of your mattress. You absolutely should not be buying the largest mattress you can fit in your room. You should be leaving anywhere from 30 inches to 5 feet on the sides and foot of the bed for maximum comfort and maneuverability. Keep the circulation flowing around the bed. So if you want to determine what size bed you need, start by measuring the length and width of your room and subtract circulation from there. Okay, so what else do you need besides the mattress to make a bed? Most mattress types are between 8 and 14 inches in thickness, and while you could have a mattress sit straight on the floor like a Japanese futon, many people find having more height to the overall assembly makes getting in and out of the bed easier. So in order to elevate the bed off the floor, it's traditional to pair the mattress with a box spring or some kind of a base to go underneath the mattress and elevate it. Some countries refer to this as a divan. This base or box spring should be the exact same size as the mattress itself, ideally from the same manufacturer. The base is typically lighter in weight and more firm than the mattress itself, providing stability but not adding to the comfort of the mattress once you're in bed. Some hollow frames require those rolls of wood slats to help evenly anchor the mattress, and others have everything built into one large mass. Next, you'll need a bed frame to hold everything in place. Most bed frames are meant to accept a base of some sort, but some of them have a built-in base, so it's important to understand the necessary parts and pieces you'll be combining and confirm that everything you want to use is compatible. Looking more closely at the bed frame and its components, the invention of the headboard can be traced back to ancient Egypt, where it was used as both a social status marker and a practical device to help block drafts from the bed. using wood as the primary material because it's a poor conductor of heat and cold compared to metal or stone, this prevented the bed from reacting directly to the temperature of the room. The headboard is one component of a system, commonly referred to as a bed frame mentioned before, which includes side rails and a footboard. And this whole system helps keep the mattress and the box spring even further elevated off the floor. We mentioned before that this is done to ease the ergonomics of getting in and out of bed, but there's another reason. And no, it's not in the name of providing additional storage, but allowing cold air to flow under the bed rather than on it if it were situated directly on the floor. This is an invention from back in the pre-HVAC days. Most of us today live in heated homes where these concerns are lessened, but the headboard as an aesthetic and status symbol remains. One important thing to note is if you choose to include a footboard and side rails in your bed system, this is always going to feel like a more traditional or old-fashioned aesthetic. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just something to keep in mind. Bed frames prior to the Industrial Revolution had to have all four components, headboard, footboard, and two side rails, to be structurally sound. Today, footboards are really more decorative, as the use of super minimal metal bed frames can support a solo headboard, or many headboards simply attach directly to the wall. Although footboards do have a heavy dose of charm, and many frames are still constructed using this four-sided method, there are still some practical functions for headboards. They serve to keep your pillows from falling down in between the space next to the wall. They give you something to lean against when sitting up in bed. And many headboards also serve as protection for the wall, as the edges of some bed frames can leave scratches or marks. Some headboards even serve as electrical conduits, providing places for sconces and power outlets. We love a good phone charging headboard. I go into depth on headboard styles in the episode Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner, so check that out if you want more aesthetic guidance, plus bedroom layout tips. Lastly, let's talk about bedding textiles. Every bed needs a fitted sheet, that's the one with the elastic at each corner, a flat sheet, a duvet with a duvet cover or a bedspread or a quilt, plus a pillow. And that's the functional basics. If you want to create a bed setup that feels more luxurious, here are some tips. And I want to acknowledge that how you make your bed is so personal. How much you want to reconstruct and deconstruct every day is up to you, but we're going to look at a few classic examples for reference. Luxury hotel brand The Westin trademarked the idea of the heavenly bed. This all-white, super fluffy sleeper exudes cloud-like luxury, and here are the extras that help it achieve this. This bed not only has a flat sheet, it has a second so-called middle sheet, which has a more pronounced decorative flange at the top, where the first flat sheet is just simple and unadorned. There's also a blanket that goes in between the flat sheet and the middle sheet, all topped with a duvet and its cover, which hangs over the edge of the bed dramatically to emphasize the plush appearance of the whole ensemble. This bed uses a bed skirt at the base to conceal its frame and any underbed open space. There are two layers of pillows. One set is covered in traditional pillowcases, and the second rear set covered in more decorative pillow shams, which are typically removed from the bed when slept in, but add a verticality to the bed when made during the day, and can also be used if you're propped up in bed reading. To top everything off, there is a single-centered short bolster pillow for good measure. The many layers of blankets are always shown turned down partially, keeping the duvet away from the pillows, and only the top sheet even gets close but still never actually touches the pillows. This can make the whole thing easier to turn down at the end of the day. What's commonly seen in lifestyle magazines and catalogs is a more decorative variation on this theme. fluffy and heavenly are important, but more layers are added, including extra throw pillows and blankets that are draped across the lower half of the bed. Some go as far as draping an extra full duvet at the end of the bed. One of the secrets used in photography to get that super plush look is actually double stuffing the duvet cover with not one, but two duvet inserts. Bed skirts are not always needed, especially if you've chosen a bed frame with finished side rails. But if you do include one, make sure it's the right length for your bed. This requires measurement, my favorite activity. There's also the stretched fabric bed skirt variety from companies like Standard Textile that give a more structured appearance rather than that ruffled vibe. On the other end of the spectrum is the traditional Scandinavian bed. This style forgoes a top sheet completely, using only a fitted sheet plus a duvet in its cover. The flat sheet is left off to prevent those of us who toss and turn from getting tangled up in any extraneous objects and just creating a minimal bedding setup. If there are two sleepers in bed, each person gets their own twin-size duvet, so no more fights over who's stealing the covers. In the daytime, the duvets are folded up into neat side-by-side rectangles with nothing hanging over the edge of the bed. There are either a single set or two sets of pillows stacked neatly on top of each other. This is the ultimate minimal bed styling, but it still looks put together and thoughtful. So there you have it. That's the rundown on all things relating to the bed. I hope you can use this episode in any future homemaking you do for yourself, whether you're setting up a guest room or refreshing your own space. And I hope you're letting yourself get as much rest as possible. And I will talk to you in the next episode.